you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Wednesday, August 9th, 2017, and I have a few little things I want to update, but I'm still thinking about something you earlier said that you learned, I guess, this past Sunday when you met up with Joey Kroll about keeping the devil out of church.
You know what? I can't find it, but we visited his church. We wanted to just be an encouragement and go over and say hi to Joey. We love Joey and Aubrey, and so we went over there, and he had a quartet from, I think they were from somewhere in Kentucky. But the guy who was...
Like Duck Dynasty, if you could picture those guys.
I think that's even more south. But it was Kentucky. I mean, it was thick Kentucky.
I meant the big beards and everything.
Oh, no, there was no beard, but he was definitely from Kentucky. But at one point, you know, the guy was kind of leading. I would say he was leading, you know, kind of the quartet. He goes, any of y'all in here bring the devil to church today? And, I mean, you could feel like all, like everyone went, oh. Like, did he really just ask that question? Now, it led into a Southern Gospel song called Don't Bring the Devil to Church. I can't find it. I looked all over YouTube trying to find it, but it was excellent. It began with kind of the verse, Don't Bring the Devil to Church. But then it went to, like, you know, does the preacher go too long? Is this not your favorite song? Do you just want it to be lunch? You know, and it was like, Don't Bring the Devil to Church. That when you come into church and you bring all your desires, all your wants, when you come to church with anything other than the desire to worship God and to give Him your whole heart, then you're bringing the devil to church with you. And it was really excellent. I mean, it was funny because he said that, you know, he had the introduction, you know, who brought the devil to church? And, you know, he kind of felt like, again, you know, and then they started to sing the song. And when they hit the first verse, you know, the favorite song, all that, Tasha and I both, like, in unison went, ha! Like, we just laughed out loud because it was like a sucker punch.
Well, and you were saying that when he was introducing it and saying, did you bring the devil to church? And you looked over to Joey and he was kind of like, where's this going?
Yeah, I think we all just kind of were like, wow, that's an intro. Like, I wasn't sure what he was going to do. But then again, when he said it was like a sucker punch. I mean, everyone's like, whoa, did he just really say that? I mean, he went right for the throat, but it was excellent. I can't find the song, so anybody listening goes, hey, I got that on a CD.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, you should buy me a CD and send it to me so I can, you know, listen to it again. Because I really loved it. And they did, like, He Touched Me, which I love. And they did a bunch of just the classics. But that one I had never heard before.
Yeah. Well, there's that song, Excuses. And it's kind of the excuses of why you don't go to church. Oh, he preaches too loud. He preaches too bold. He doesn't preach bold enough. And it goes through that. And then it ends up excuses, you know. And, oh, little Johnny has a fever. We all better stay home. And all the reasons you give for not going to church. But you'll go to the football game and you'll cheer. But when you go to church, you know, everyone sits on their hands and are so quiet. Excuses. Anyways,
it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
But it was just it was a sucker punch. I mean, I'd never heard it before, and I did not expect it, neither did my wife. And for us, it was like one of our favorite parts of the service because it just kind of caught us off guard, and it was just so honest, and it really was fun. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, his lead-in, who brought the devil to church? And everyone's like, whoa. Yeah, yeah. I'd never heard anybody kind of intro a song like that.
And you said Joey gave a good message out of Ephesians, and you took a lot of notes and really appreciated his heart and his boldness. And
oh, totally. I left. So I left having taken more notes from Joey's sermon than I probably have taken when I've been listened to a message at a conference by one of those big notable speakers, the John MacArthurs and the John Pipers and the Matt Chandlers of the world. I took more notes from the things that Joey said. Joey had a great message that you could tell came right from the heart of God's Word and right from Joey's heart for God's Word. And so it was, when I left, I kind of just gave him kind of, you know, the Christian side hug. And I just said, you know what, brother, I am thankful for you. And I really was. I really left feeling just so thankful for the ministry that Joey's doing.
Yeah, yeah. You blessed me by sharing some of those things the other day, and Yeah, Joey's a good one. He's a keeper. You tune in tomorrow, you'll hear his devotional thoughts, his cheery good attitude, and his message of hope, and always delivering something from the Bible. And that's also something that you love to do. In fact, I won't I'll say at this point, you know, I can't keep a secret, or when I start thinking about something.
Keep the secret for a little while longer.
I will say, be praying up some of the considerations that Jason and I are having, are praying through, are thinking about, are considering, pondering. It's kind of a no-brainer in one sense, but we want God's leading, directing, how to facilitate it and do it and optimize it so it's a benefit for all those involved in the various ways. But we're thinking about some things in the days ahead, probably October, November, and then the first part of the year to offer something. So you'll hear more about it. Still praying it up. But, you know, Jason, I get this down and I get excited when I see a graphic and some other things about it. But a lot of things to be excited about lately. Our English conversation class, I think there was over for 80 international students this last Thursday. And so, I don't know, I have 20, 25 different teachers, facilitators, helpers that are enthusiastic. And so the groups are really coming together well. We just load them up. And we had some special music last week. So at 11 o'clock, we now go from 10 to noon. But at 11 o'clock sharp, we all got up and walked through the mall to the Art Mart, the old Art Mart. Mm-hmm. And we had Joan Rene Barakita from Congo, and he put on a little show.
Oh, the guy with sing. The oh, yeah, he was great. I saw the little videos.
Yeah, so he sang a song, and he had the children sing. So he worked with them for like 45 minutes, and they sang to us all. But everyone in the mall is like, what's going on? Because when you have like 80 international students walking around, it catches your eye. So thank you, God, for what's taking place through our English conversation classes. And then I'll point out Wednesday, August 16th, See You at Home is going to put on their special little video presentation about the ministry and the work they've accomplished these last many years. That'll be at the Great News Radio Center at 6:30. More to say about that in the next
few
days.
They're also going to do one. I saw this, I think yesterday, maybe I saw this late last night. They're going to show that at the Harvest Moon Drive-In.
Oh, in Gibson City.
Yeah, I was really kind of, I was like, wow, that's really a neat kind of place to.
Oh.
Now, that's not as neat as seeing it at the Great News Radio Center.
No,
I don't want to steal your thunder, but I just thought that was interesting to go to have it playing at the drive-in.
Yeah, that Mike Haroon, he's the owner, developer, founder of that. He's a founding partner with Great News Radio.
Oh.
He's kind of an interesting guy. I think they have a salvage company and a tower company.
They have to have something to keep because drive-in movies can't pay the bills.
Right. He's an entrepreneurial type, and I met him, let's see, we've been on the air 21 years, around 21 or so years ago.
Wow.
Somebody said, maybe ask him. He helps out a lot of causes, and I didn't know really where he was on his faith journey and such. And we met up, and God turned it into a divine appointment. He said, and he was like one of the very first $5,000 contributors. We weren't on the air or anything, and he didn't know me from Adam, if you will. And God has used him over the years. Mm. He was at our big 20th anniversary celebration, you know, a year and a half or so ago. And I had met up with him in about 10 or so years. But
I remember you were pretty, I wouldn't say instrumental, but you were one of the powerful voices when they were going to maybe close down or not close down. And you were helping to lead that effort in raising the money and all the things needed to kind of get them compliant so that they could remain open.
Yeah, he's a very interesting guy. So anyways, that'll be Wednesday, August 16th, See You at Home here at the Great News Radio Center, I think at 6:30 at night. And I think are going to have dessert or something, and then we'll show the film. And we'll tell you how to register or get involved once.
And
I
that's
know.
A great opportunity. I don't want to Shanghai your moment here, but that's a great opportunity to meet the new director of the See You at Home, because Melanie has officially transitioned that over. And so now Rob Dahlhaus is in charge of that. And so I think a great opportunity to come out and be able to meet Rob and to be able to put a name and a face together and see who's going to be the person who's going to be pushing this ministry forward after all the great work that Melanie's done.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have them a part of a morning program pretty soon, because that event's August 16th, so I think it might even be this next week, or maybe I'll have you in with them. I've got to figure that out, when to place them in. So, and then Saturday, August 26th, Great News Radio is going up to the Pacific Garden Mission, joined by the Singing Men of GNN, and it'll be a full tour of the facility. We'll watch the taping of Unshackled, and we'll have dinner there, And then there'll be a multicultural worship service that's always really neat and special and powerful. And the singing men will present. I think we're going to have six songs. And
oh, wow.
We'll be taking a motor coach up, and it's filling up fast. I think the last six motor coach events that we did, they filled up really quick, including even our trip to Israel. It's like booked up fast. So if you're interested in knowing more, stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org. And you can get registered, and there's a $30 cost, and that covers the motor coach, deluxe motor coach, and obviously some snacks on the way up. Mm-hmm. Dinner will be provided at the Pacific Garden Mission, and we'll basically leave at 11:45 from Marketplace Mall, returning at about 11:15 at night. So it's a very full day, but trust me, you'll be very blessed, and mm-hmm. we've done it a couple times in the past, and everyone's thoroughly enjoyed it. And you'll be joined by the singing men of GNN. So I think we have so many guys that'll be on the bus, which allowed us to have about 25 or 30 openings for listeners to join. So if you want to be a part of that, there's a few seats left. Stop by greatnewsradio.org and sign up online, or you can call Karen at 217-367-7777. Let's see. Do we want to talk some more about Romans?
You know what? I want to talk about Hebrews.
Hebrews.
We were on vacation last week.
That was one other thing. Answered prayer. And I did see the posts and a testimony from the First Lady, from Tasha.
She
enjoyed it. Because you and I kind of prayed about it, and you wanted it to be a good, positive experience.
Yeah.
And
it was
Tasha's kind of first time.
It was her first
family.
Time camping. And so we had to do everything we could to kind of get her mind off the fact that she was sleeping on the ground for the week. But, yeah, it was great. A great time of refreshing. But one of the things that we really tried hard to do was we've always struggled. So maybe some other people listening are just a little better than we are. But we've always struggled with devotionals in our family. We just struggle with, number one, making the time. Number two, getting over the frustration of trying to do devotionals with four kids. We've just struggled with that. We struggled with when is a good time to do it, how do we do it. And finally, on vacation, one of the things that we said on vacation, it wasn't just a time to get away, but it was a time for us to get near to God. We said if we weren't going to try and get near to God, we didn't even need to get away. We should just stay where we're at. Because everything that we do should be trying to get us towards God. And so one of the things that we did while we were on vacation is we started doing devotionals in the morning. And we started in the book of Hebrews. And so we get up every morning and we would just get around the table and we would just talk. And it's been beneficial to me in a couple of ways. Because when I have to teach my kids, I realize I have to be a little simpler. I can't deal in Hebrew and Greek and high theology and all those kinds of things. I have to explain it in terms and ways that they can really grasp and get, or else I'm just talking. And Dad talks all the time, but I'm not talking because Dad talks. I'm talking because Jesus is talking, and so that matters more. So I have to be willing to lay aside my own kind of desires so that I can serve His desires, which is that He would be known to my kids. And so we've been in the book of Hebrews, and it's been great. I mean, we just said, look, we laid it out, and we said, if there's anything we want to do, it always seems like you can make time to do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to do something, you'll make time to do it. And so we started to say, well, you know what? Why wouldn't we make time for devotionals? Mm. And so what's really interesting is the other day, I was doing the Romans study, and I got done with that. That's at 6:30 in the morning, and I got done with that about 7:45. And I said, okay, I got my next thing I need to be at 10. I should just set up shop here and work. And then I said, no, I need to go home and do devotionals with my kids. So I drove back home, and we did devotionals, and I drove back to my appointment to where I needed to be. But just because I think I've got to make that a priority, because everything's going to pull me away from it. But all that to say, it's been rich. Mm. It has been so rich. And so to give people a window into that, I just want to share something that we did in our devotional this past week that was really powerful for all of us. In fact, my kids are even still talking about this one particular devotional that we did.
And you started in Hebrews, because I was thinking, okay, maybe Psalms or Proverbs or something much easier. So why Hebrews?
I don't know. You know what I think it was is that I was...
At least it wasn't Leviticus.
I think what it was is because as we started vacation, I said throughout vacation, I want to try my best to read the whole New Testament.
Hmm.
So I started reading a couple days before vacation. I started reading. I was already in Romans, but I started reading. I read the Gospels. I knocked those out pretty quick because I think it's easy reading. The letters get to be a little harder to read because there's a lot of theology and the wording is more difficult. But when we picked it up as a family, I was getting into Hebrews. And my wife's like, so where are we at? And I had Hebrews open. She goes, okay, we're in Hebrews. And, you know, it really was a great first lesson for the kids, talking about the radiance of the glory of God. And we're camping. So what do we have? We had a flashlight. And so we turned the flashlight on. You know, this flashlight is only possible because of the batteries and the power source. And the Holy Spirit is our power source. But the batteries are worthless without the housing, which is like the Father. And then Jesus is the radiance that comes out of the front, that goes into the darkness, that brings light into the world. And so without the batteries, without the flashlight itself, the light doesn't do anything. And so we had this great moment to talk to the kids. But Hebrews 6 was one that we keep talking about still. And Hebrews 6, I'm going to read it for you, and then we'll go back and talk about it. But 6 beginning in 13 says this: For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, Surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves. In all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to their heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purposes, he guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have a strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. And so we started off with our family saying, what does it say in the first verse? It says, God makes promises. God makes promises. Now, it also says in this passage that he gives us oaths. So not only does God make a promise, but he makes an oath. And he makes that to Abraham by saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And so I told my kids, I said, I could make a promise. I won't eat hot dogs anymore. I could make that promise to myself. And then if I eat hot dogs, the only person I let down is myself. But when I make that promise to myself and then make an oath publicly, I will not eat hot dogs. When you guys all see me eating hot dogs, you're going to say, he's a liar. He's a liar. And so God makes a promise, but not only does he make a promise, but the promises he makes to himself, because it says he, when God was looking for someone to stand witness to his promise, when he was looking for something pure and good and right to stand witness to his promises, the only person he could find that was good and right and just is himself. The greatest, purest thing that God could find to stand witness to his own promises was himself. Mm-hmm. And so God not only makes this promise to Abraham, but he makes an oath. He says it out loud so that we can hold him to it. And that's why it says down later, it says it's impossible for God to lie. So it's almost as if the writer of Hebrews is saying, go and check the work. Go and check God and see. He made a promise. He made an oath, and it has come true because God doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. And so we say to my kids, what does God do? He makes promises. Who is the purest person that we have to stand witness to God's promises? Himself. He's that good. Does God lie? Nope. So God makes promises. God is pure, and God does not lie. And then what does it say right after that? It's impossible for God to lie. We who have fled for refuge might have a strong encouragement. So God makes promises. God is pure. God doesn't lie, and the safest place, the refuge of strong encouragement, is in him. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he doesn't lie, and because he makes promises that he always keeps. And so we tend to make promises, and we don't always keep them. But God makes promises, and he always keeps them. But it's not even that. It gets even better than that. And better than that is that we can hold fast to the hope that's set before us. And my kid said, well, what does hold fast mean? And I said, well, do you think it means this? And I reached out my hand and we did a handshake. And my daughter goes, well, that doesn't really seem like holding fast. And I said, well, how about a pat on the back? And she goes, well, that just doesn't seem like holding fast. And I said, this is Abigail, my six-year-old. I said, Abigail, what do you think holding fast means? And she reached out and she gave me the biggest hug. Mm. And she says, Dad, it's like I'm hugging you like this and I won't let go. And I said, exactly. I said, because when we know that God makes promises, that God is pure, that God doesn't lie, and that the safest place we ever have is God, we won't want to let go of that. We want to hold on to that with all that we have. And we hold on to that because what? The next verse says, this is a sure and steadfast anchor. When we say something is sure, we mean that it is for sure. It is going to happen. And not only that, but God says here, it is sure and always going to happen, but it is steadfast because it always will be. God is always there, the God who doesn't promise, who is pure, who doesn't lie, and who is our refuge, our safest place we could ever be, will always and all the time be there for us as what? Our steadfast anchor. I said, Molly, why is an anchor so important? This is just so wonderful. She said to me, Dad, because if a boat drops an anchor, then it won't drift away. Hmm. And that's so important because Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 says this, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. Hmm. And so when we start paying attention to other things other than Jesus, when we start letting other things get a hold of us other than Jesus, we don't have the anchor in the water. We aren't holding on to the sure and steadfast anchor, and we start to drift away. And listen, friends, I don't know where you're at or what age you are, but these are 6- and 8-year-old girls who are getting this. They understand that if I don't have the anchor in the water, I'm going to drift. I'm going to float away. And this isn't just that you're going to float away from the destination or the place that you wish to be. This is that you are going to float away from the person that you should always desire to be near, and that is God. Hmm. God Himself, the God who makes promises, who is pure, who doesn't lie, who is the safest place you could ever be, and He is and always will be your steadfast and sure anchor from drifting away.
I love this verse 19, and that's what you're preaching and talking about right here. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure.
Yeah.
Amen and amen. Everyone, I think today's message means we all need to be spending some time in Hebrews or in God's Word somewhere.
God's Word,
anywhere. In fact, on Friday, we'll be talking about Exodus. We'll continue our study into Exodus, but Hebrews is a great book. In fact, some would say Paul wrote it. It's still not totally
The jury is out on who wrote Hebrews, but I really do think when I see some of the pearls that are being strung in through Hebrews, I think Paul wrote it. You know, but there's just enough language that feels a little different that people question if Paul could have written it or not. But here's the thing. Let's just take all the human authors off the table. We know who wrote it.
Right.
God did.
Right.
And that's all that matters. Yep. We can argue about the human authorship of any of the books of the Bible, but we can't argue about the divine authorship of the Bible.
Inspired, inerrant, worthy of our reading each and every day. Get into Hebrews today. Get into the Bible. Well, everyone, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel
now,
with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the Book of Life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Joshua and David had their worries, had their troubles in their day. But they knew no harm could overcome them when they'd kneel right down and pray.
Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the Book of Life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Should old sin begin to overtake you, and old Satan's at your door, read the book, and there you find the answer, and sin will trouble you no more.
Now, sister, read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, sister? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the Book of Life and pray. Read the Bible every day.